You're listening to the MLB At The Plate podcast, presented by National Car Rental. Go national, go like a pro. We're giving you the best content from each postseason edition of MLB At The Plate. Now, here are your hosts, Holden Kushner and J.P. Arencibia.
Welcome to the MLB At The Plate World Series podcast. So alongside J.P. Arencibia, I'm Holden Kushner. The Houston Astros won Game 7 5-1 over the LA Dodgers to capture their first World Series in franchise history. Former Dodgers GM Ned Coletti and four-time World Series champion Jeff Nelson joined JP and I to break down Houston's victory in the winner-take-all Game 7. And the Houston Astros, JP, they've done it. I think that it was an upset pulling it off against the Dodgers in seven splendid games.
Oh, wow. That was pretty insane. And then, of course, to top it off, I mean, the last out is hit to the one and only, the MVP of, I believe, the American League, Jose Altuve, and what he's meant so much to that team. But, I mean, I wanted the Dodgers to win it, so I'm a little sad. But, wow, the Astros have overcome. I bet you the city of Houston right now is going so crazy and has such a bright spot for, you know, tough times. I imagine that this is very, very special for for that city, especially after what they had to go through this year.
And no doubt about it, that makes me really happy for the city of Houston. These people deserve it. They've gone through hell for what they've been through, and have this team take care of them. And congrats to Sports Illustrated for 2013 saying they're the 2017 world champions and putting Springer on the cover, because I mean, they couldn't have gotten anything more right than that. That is absolutely amazing what this team did this year. They're the best team in baseball the first 2 months of the season. They're the best team in baseball on the final day of the season. Obviously, Justin Verlander coming over put them over the top. But here's a team that did not have a very good bullpen. They didn't have a good bullpen. And A.J. Hinch managed to put the pieces together with enough offense and enough starting pitching to get this thing done. So, JP, let's talk about some of the stars here. Tonight, Charlie Morton just went out and was dominating again. He was the best pitcher in this series. Alex Wood was terrific, too. But Charlie Morton came out, shut the game down. He's now the fifth pitcher with a four-inning save in World Series history. Think about that for a second. Bumgarner was the last one to do that, but Charlie Morton tonight coming in, flash a 98-99, nasty curveball, and four innings, two hits, a run, four Ks, those 12 outs, so important, and really got out of one big jam, and after that, the Dodgers just had no shot.
Yeah, no, it was pretty spectacular, and think about it, you know, the way they won Game 7 to get to the World Series, they went Morton and McCullers, and this game out here, you know, they switched things up a little bit, and they, you know, they had to kind of have a little stopgap after McCullers, but they were able to get to Morton, and Morton was able to close it down, and Morton looked unbelievable. If there's anybody that being around the game and facing him and seeing him and even catching him to see where he is now, I mean, it is night and day. The guy was up to 99 tonight. His curveball looked like it was unhittable. So again, you have to tip your hat to the Houston Astros with that bullpen. You have also to Hinch, because to be able to win with the bullpen being that bad, I mean, that's something that hasn't been done in quite some time. So you have to tip your hat to these guys in the front office and whatever you know, stat guys that put it together, because they had the equation to win the championship.
Well, yeah, let's talk about A.J. Hinch here, because he went out tonight. He started McCullers, 2 1/3 shutout innings with the 3 strikeouts, and then Peacock came in and got him 6 very important outs. Used Liriano back-to-back games. Liriano was effective again, getting Bellinger, and then Davinsky got an out, and Morton took care of the rest. I don't think it could be understated how impressive a job this was by A.J. Hinch. Obviously, they had a big plan coming into this. They had Keuchel warming at one point. They had Verlander getting loose in the ninth inning just in case anything had happened. But to go out there with two starters tonight, and then Peacock, who was a starter for a large part of the season, Liriano just getting an out, and Davinsky, this was one of the worst bullpens that I think – actually, statistically, It's got to be, if not the worst bullpen, one of the two or three worst in the history of World Series champions. And the fact that Hinch could go out there and put the puzzle pieces together, just a remarkable job by him. So when we start talking about the terrific managers in the game, let's start throwing A.J. Hinch in there.
Yeah, no, you do. You definitely have to throw A.J. Hinch in there. Again, especially because of the job that he was able to do. You know my reference, you can't make chicken, you know, salad out of chicken, you know what. And he did. He actually made the best chicken salad in baseball because they won the World Series. So I think you have to tip your hat, man, and the way you can match up, the way he had to – because, listen, right there, his back's against the wall. You know you're going to have to go to your relievers at some point, or you're going to have to bring other guys in other than your starters. How can we stop gap? How can we make it work? Even getting Liriano to go out there and face one batter, as dumb as it may sound, that was huge, get Bellinger to ground out. So you do have to tip your hat. I feel like his message to his team has been positive. You know, every time he has any kind of post-game or pre-game interview, his answers are always spot on. He's always defending his players. He's a guy, like you said, eventually, not only is he a great, great manager in the decisions that he makes, I think what he does also is communicate, and he has the back of his players, which it was very evident throughout all of his interviews.
He just did a really nice job, and I still think that Dave Roberts is right there as one of the best managers in Major League Baseball. You know, he got his team in the NLCS last year, got him within one win of a World Series this year. We can second guess about all of them, but just because they lost the World Series doesn't mean that Dave Roberts doesn't deserve some acknowledgement for being a terrific manager. Now, Smoltz had brought it up. I was getting pummeled on Twitter from fans. Hey, why didn't they start Kershaw? Smoltz said this is going to happen if the Dodgers lose. I think you and I are on the same page when it comes to this, but before anybody decides to hit you up and ask the question, do you have an answer to that, why Clayton Kershaw didn't start tonight?
I mean, why? I think it's pretty evident. You made a trade for Yu Darvish, and I mean, he has a pretty good track record. Other than that one start, he has a very, very strong track record against the Houston Astros, and it was his turn to go. And then, you know, that's the way you do it. I don't feel like you just change plans just because, you know, it's the last game. I think you got to stick with what's been helping them. And you know, Darvish has been good for them, but unfortunately, it was second time in the World Series. He didn't do well, and I think obviously the dagger was that two-run homer to Springer. You get 3-2 right there, and you imagine that, hey, maybe they're going to try to go slider. Somebody that's been that hot, you're going to try to throw him something else other than the fastball. You know he hasn't been missing those, and they went fastball, and he made him pay.
Yeah, again, you'll see the moment was too big for him, this and that. Whatever it was, he just didn't get the job done on the biggest stage. The Astros did. They were terrific throughout this series, very resilient. You got to be a resilient team to win the World Series. But I think Dave Roberts did a nice job. No problems with what Roberts did here in the playoffs. And then back to the Astros here. So we talked about Morton. We talked about A.J. Hinch. Let's talk about George Springer now, because this guy was something else. I mean, he's hitting home runs every single game. He's coming up with another big hit, and he's got to be the MVP. They haven't officially announced it yet, but George Springer, there was nobody more valuable to their team really throughout the playoffs. Even though he went through a 3-for-30 stretch, nobody did what he did. He had one of the all-time great World Series performances, despite being non-existent in Game 1 and the media asking A.J. Hinch if he was going to drop him down in the order.
Yeah, no, I mean, he especially too. Listen, all that stuff goes forgotten. The 3-for-30, whatever slump that he was in, all goes forgotten with his World Series performance. I mean, who cares about the 3-for, you know, whatever it was? Now him going out there and having, I mean, 5 homers, 4 straight games with a home run. Mm-hmm. And pretty much the kind of nail in the coffin, you know, per se, with that 2-run homer to put him up 5-0. I mean, obviously the way the game started was not good. And it started off with a Springer double. So you already knew that that was not a great start for them. And then he goes and hits a home run. I mean, the dude just single-handedly created chaos for them. Even as much, I thought one of his biggest home runs was when he made that error diving for the ball. And it wasn't an error because he dove for it, but lack of judgment. Ball gets to the wall. They score a run. I think it was game three that that happened. And he comes out first pitch of the next inning. He hits a home run and ties the game back up. And that just, for me, that was one of those things like, hey, man, this guy is, this team and this guy is very resilient. And, you know, they were in the zone.
55 years without a World Series championship. We talk about all the droughts. 55 years they were in major leagues, and they snapped that tonight. Jeff Nelson has 4 World Series rings, and he joins us now on the phone. Nelly, thanks for the time. Appreciate it. Just want to get your overall impressions of the Houston Astros winning this series in 7 games. I mean, game 7, a little anticlimactic, but the other 6 were magnificent, weren't they?
They were, and I was a little surprised about game 7. I really thought that the Dodgers might have had the advantage going in because the way they manufacture runs. But the first 2 innings, you know, the Astros scoring 5 runs, and then the Dodgers having the opportunity to come back, and they pretty much squandered that opportunity.
Oh, talk about Mr. Morton, Charlie Morton. This dude, obviously, pretty good pitcher throughout his career, but it seems like this playoffs and this year, it has gone to a different level. He was up to 99 tonight, and that curveball looked like it was unhittable. I mean, talk about what you were able to see from Charlie Morton this World Series.
He was incredible in his start, and I don't think he – if you talk about the regular season, he probably's not coming out of that start. But when he came out today, and you knew it was going to be a starter's day out of the bullpen, you knew you were going to go McCullers, so you're going to see Peacock. You're going to see Morton, but the way Morton pitched, he just had the Dodger hitters off balance. When you're talking about a guy that was in Pittsburgh through 93, 94, next thing you know, he's throwing 97 and 98, and you just mentioned 99. I don't know where that came from, but outstanding job, because if you look at the Astros bullpen, they had nothing, and they had to go to starters to be able to finish this thing off.
What do you think about the job that A.J. Hinch did with, like you said, no one wanted to go to that bullpen, but he had to eventually at times. He was able to mix and match, obviously got Davinsky a third and got Liriano. But talk about the job that he was able to do to put that team and that bullpen to use and make them a championship team.
Great stuff. You look at the first 3 innings, the Dodgers had the opportunity to score some runs and to cut into that lead, and they weren't able to do that. And there were some key plays, the double play that got hit to Correa that was able to toss to Altuve to end that inning. He realized that, okay, I need to go to somebody else. He was able to go to Peacock. He went to Liriano and Davinsky for a third each. And then he goes to Morton to finish it off. The one thing that they're going to have to address is their bullpen. But you know what? They have starters. If you look at this series, and even the ALCS, it was all starters that got them through this thing.
All right, Nelly. So here's George Springer, 15 hits on a 6-game hit streak after the 0-for in Game 1, which, by the way, he was in a 3-for-30 slump. 5 home runs, 7 RBIs. This is truly one of the great World Series performances that I think anybody's ever seen.
Well, he was one of the top leadoff hitters in baseball this year, and he's such a great kid, and he's so fun to watch. And even defensively, he made that blunder in Game 5, and it came back and hit the home run to tie the game over the railroad tracks. It was a matter of time that he was going to win the MVP. You know, he's such a good player, and you look at his emotions or facial expressions. When he struggles, he really takes it to heart. And, you know, it's just an amazing job, an amazing feeling of what he did.
Yeah, it is. Now, you look over the Dodgers side. I mean, is there anything that you think Dave Roberts could have done differently to help his team win tonight's game, or was it just completely out of his hands?
Well, the only thing I ask is okay, if Kershaw's available, why not start him? I know you went and got Yu Darvish. Yu Darvish didn't do well in Texas. Obviously, it's hindsight. But Kershaw gave you 4 innings. If anything, why not start your best starter? I don't get it. It didn't happen. They wound up losing this game. And they're going to wind up answering that question, why did we not start Kershaw in the Game 7 if he was available? That's the only question I have for him.
What did you think about Jansen coming in the early part of that game? As you know, they tie it up. Who do they go to, or even if it gets a closer game, who do they have in that bullpen?
Yeah, again, a little puzzling to me because he came in an early inning in the seventh inning. I don't understand it. You know, what would have happened if you'd gone on later? I know you needed a shutdown inning, but your team was not coming out, coming back. They could not put together that key hit to be able to score some runs, to be able to cut into that lead and put pressure on the Astros and their pitching staff. So that's another thing I question.
Is there any specific moment in this series that you think stands out the most?
Well, the one moment that stands out the most is Game 5. I mean, Kershaw, if you look at their record, when he has a 4-0 lead or a 4-run lead, he's 101. The Dodgers are 101 when Kershaw has a 4-plus run lead. He winds up giving that up. That's the biggest moment to me. When you knock out Keuchel, you score 4 runs, and you cannot win that game going back to the Dodgers in L.A., knowing that all they need is one win to win this World Series, and they couldn't get it done. So Game 5 of Kershaw really stands out to me.
All right, Nelly, thanks for the time. Appreciate it, buddy. Go enjoy.
All right, guys. Talk to you later.
All right, very good. So now you've got the Astros, the world champions, and now that the Astros won the World Series, there's 7 franchises, JP, that haven't won it all yet. The Nationals, Padres, Brewers, Rockies, Mariners, Rays, Rangers. So we'll see if they can get off the schneid. But this is truly a special team that we saw this year with the Astros. And again, we were doing the shows together. The first 2 months of the season, there was nobody better than the Houston Astros. Nobody. They were crushing the baseball. They were getting great starting pitching. And their bullpen was one of the best in the game. The difference was, you know, as the season went on, the bullpen started going down in June. You had injuries to Springer and Correa for a long time. And just in the nick of time toward the end of the year, they got hot and they went out. And I really wish we could have seen Houston and Cleveland. We didn't, but we got Houston and the Dodgers. And this was just two Titans going head to head. And it just so happened that Houston got it done. And for Los Angeles, Yu Darvish, he just didn't have it. Put him in a hole. And the Dodgers just could not get any offense going tonight.
Yeah, no doubt. They were able to, you know, get on base and start the inning, actually, because they had a few times, man on second, man on first and second, nobody out, and they just weren't able to, you know, move the guy over, or they weren't able to get that big hit. And I agree with Nelly. I think that game five, when you have your horse, Clayton Kershaw, on the mound, and you get a 4-0 lead, that's where they needed to turn it down. That's where they needed to completely just shut it down, close the door. They left that door open, and unfortunately now, with leaving that door open, this is what happened. And so, you just have to kind of tip your hat to Houston. And with what they were able to do, man, without a bullpen, the strongest thing that, you know, we've talked about, and you know how I feel, the best teams the last few years have had a great bullpen, have had a no-doubt shutdown bullpen, and the Houston Astros kind of proved that when it gets to the playoffs, even if you don't have a bullpen, you may be able to piggyback some starters and do some things and think outside the box. And as long as you can score some runs, which they did, you can win a championship.
Yeah, and Peacock was a starter for most of the year. He started the year in the bullpen and then ended up, you know, going to the bullpen late in the year and for the playoffs. So basically, they were working with 5 starters. All 5 starters got a lot of work in this series. And Davinsky got used as well. There was no Kenny Giles. We saw him, you know, the trust just left, I think, what was it, after game 4, maybe into game 5, and that was it. So they were working without their closer in this series, too, and to go out and use all the all of their starting pitchers, all 5 of them in this series, was amazing. George Springer, officially the MVP of the World Series, so the 2017 World Series MVP, George Springer, in the 7-game series, 15 hits, 5 home runs, 7 runs batted in. he was just spectacular. You know, he made some terrific defensive plays. He made one play where he came in a little too aggressively. The ball got by him, ended up saving the game later with another home run. George Springer, he's not a forgotten man because he's one of the best leadoff hitters in the game. But, you know, here's one of the best young players in the game, and he shone bright on the biggest stage there is in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, no, he was unbelievable. He was, I think, instrumental. Again, for me, one of the biggest, you know, home runs was that game five that he was able to go out there and hit that home run to tie the game back up. I think that was a pivotal moment. And think about what kind of year this guy would have had if he would have been able to play the entire season without, you know, kind of getting banged up there. He would have had a complete, just an enormous, enormous season from a leadoff guy. So he already did that. It would have been even better, but this is the icing on the cake. All that stuff is water under the bridge. As long as you go out there, you win the championship. And in the biggest stage, you're out there, you're the World Series MVP. I mean, obviously, there's not a better feeling in the world that I would imagine that winning a World Series and then being the MVP of the World Series. I think it doesn't get much better than that.
Yeah, he hit 34 home runs during the regular season. I mean, this guy has a ton of pop. And then, again, four straight games with a home run, five overall. He finished the series. The last three games, he had multiple hit games in all three. He had home runs in all three. He had a double and a home run in game number seven tonight. So when it was the most important time to step up, George Springer did it once again, and he wins the Willie Mays World Series MVP award. So congratulations to George Springer there. Final score tonight, 5-1. Astros over the Dodgers. They win the best of seven series, 4-3. And just looking at some other things in this series, Altuve did not have a really good series offensively, but they still overcame that. Was good defensively, had a couple of bright moments. You know, Correa did just enough. Gurriel hit .214. McCann hit .200. Marwin Gonzalez later in the series didn't do too much. So it really came down to Springer carrying this offense on his back. And that's what we saw. He really did carry this team on his back.
Yeah, but that's what the sign of a good team is that, listen, Altuve carried them for a lot of that year or for most of the year. Especially when guys went down, Altuve was there every day. You know, he was a big part of the playoffs, and necessarily that he didn't have a great World Series. I mean, he did hit one of the biggest home runs. That 3-run home run off Kenta Maeda was enormous. They're down 7-4. All of a sudden, he ties it up with one swing. I mean, he was instrumental. What he's been to this organization, the way he goes about it. I mean, you hear AJ Hinch talk about a person who is pretty much almost perfect. And so, again, everybody contributed in the way that they needed to contribute. I'm sure from top to bottom, you go training staff, the weight, the strength, conditioning, and all the everything, front office, everybody did whatever they needed to do. Because to win a World Series, everybody has to be hitting on all cylinders. And that's what happened.
Yep. And we'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about this game. And also, oh, look at that. Correa on live TV is proposing to his girlfriend. So good for him. This is going to be, you know, personally, I'm just going to, just a personal criticism here. I'd have broken those two nice moments up on different days. Enjoy tonight, and then maybe tomorrow you do it. But how about that? That's a pretty awesome moment there on national television. Carlos Correa is...
What happened if they would have lost?
And not only that, what happened if she said no?
Well, I mean, let's be honest. We all know that you're not going to say no.
Yeah. At this point, yes. Actually, if she had a good sense of humor, she would have said no and kind of messed with him. Anyways, what would have happened if they lost? I guess he would have asked her tomorrow then, and things would have gotten a lot better, right?
Hey, listen, I know that we lost game seven, but at least we get to spend the rest of our lives together.
Yep, so that's it. Correa just went for the gusto, yeah. He's got a fiance now, and congratulations to him. Congratulations to the Astros. It has been a long time coming. This franchise was the laughingstock of Major League Baseball. You know, from 2011 on, 12, 13, 14, 15, 14. Yeah, this were 100 lost seasons time and time and time again. And when I said, well, that's one of the big reasons why they were able to have guys like Springer and Correa and Bregman. That being said, we've seen organizations quite a few times have high draft picks year after year after year, and they choke it away, and they have horrible picks. These guys hit year after year after year. So Big congratulations to the front office there, because they did a hell of a job too. Just because you have the high picks doesn't mean it's always going to work out.
No doubt. And you can't excuse me, there's a lot of guys that miss, and they didn't really miss at all. I mean, there was a lot of great, great picks. I think even being able to make some good trades. So, again, you have to really tip your hat, because you don't get to this spot without really hitting on all cylinders, and not just today, and not just, you know, halfway through the year. It's years of scouting, years of drafting the right guys, years of developing all the guys through the minor leagues. They should be just as proud, because they put in the work to get these guys to be ready for the, you know, this exact moment.
All right, we'll come back. We'll be joined by our buddy and longtime Dodgers GM, Ned Colletti, get his thoughts from the Dodgers side of things. Congrats to the Astros, 2017 World Series champs. This is MLB at the Plate's World Series post-game show.
You're listening to the MLB at the Plate podcast, presented by National Car Rental. Go national, go like a pro. And we'll be right back with more after this.
The 11th Hour with Brian Williams. Tomorrow's headlines before they go to print.
I've just been handed some great reporting.
Tomorrow's questions before anyone's asked them.
Could you make an obstruction case?
Tomorrow's conversation tonight.
Who is there to stand up to the boss and speak truth to power?
Not a single person.
The 11th Hour with Brian Williams. More than the day that was, it's the day that will be. Weeknights at 11 Eastern on MSNBC.
And now, time for more of the MLB at the Plate podcast, presented by National Car Rental. Go national, go like a pro. Now, here are your hosts, Holden Kushner and J.P. Arencibia.
The Astros win a World Series. They win Game 7 tonight by final score of 5-1. Our friend and longtime Dodgers GM, Ned Colletti, joining us on the phone from Dodger Stadium right now. Ned, I know it's not how you envision things ending tonight, but this is a hell of a season for the Dodgers overall.
Well, they had a great year, but you know what? Give Houston a lot of credit. They did what is really tough to do, and that is come into a visiting place with 55,000 people. And they came right out of the gate. Boy, Springer started the game with that double. Then he homered later. They were tough right out of it. And that says a lot about their constitution. Says a lot about A.J. Hinch and their coaching staff and the preparation that they went through. So you got to tip your head. This is probably the most boring Dodger offense of the series. They held them back. They gave them one opportunity when they had first and second, nobody out, so they hit Justin Turner with a pitch for the second time. But boy, not much. Not much there for LA, but a lot for Houston. And they, like I said, they came into a hostile environment, and they quieted it, and they never let up.
Ned, what do you got? You know, obviously everybody always is hindsight and is able to ask the question after the fact, but you know, the conversation of, if you can go with Kershaw for four innings, why don't you just start him? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting and certainly a great question in hindsight. You know, I think I don't think LA expected Darvish to get off to such a poor start and so quickly. And, you know, had they known that, obviously they would have made other arrangements. But I think that they felt confident that the last start was really kind of a blip on the screen. Unfortunately, it became the prelude to the second start. And, you know, you can look back on that and say that, yeah, Kersh should have started. But you're also talking about him being on short rest, 2 days rest. And you know if you're starting Kershaw, you know for sure that it's going to be probably a three-inning start. Maybe a touch more, but maybe a three-inning start. And you got all those Houston right-handed hitters at the top of that lineup. They're very, very right-handed. And it's a great question right now, but it's probably only because of the performance of Darvish that you even think about it.
Yeah, no doubt. And it's always easy to do that. You're looking at the Dodgers, you know, obviously for the next year. And I know it's early to talk about it, but this team is going to be another good team for the next years to come. What are your thoughts on the future of the Dodgers?
Well, they have a lot of great young players. You talk about the two guys in the infield, that's Seager and Bellinger, 22, 23 years old. You know, they're going to be stars. They're already stars in the game. I think Jack Peterson kind of reassured himself. Still a young player. Yasiel Puig really had, I think, his best year. Didn't have the gaudy average he had the first 6 months or first 3 months that he was up in the big leagues, but that was before people knew him. I mean, he made a lot of adjustments
Pitching wise, you know, Kenley Jansen's got 4 years left on his deal. I thought he was the best closer in baseball this year. You start at the end of your bullpen. If you get through your rotation, you go to the end of your bullpen. I think he's one of the best. And you got Clayton coming back for at least another year. Alex Wood had a tremendous year. You know, there's a lot of good things that went on. They won 104 games. And then they ran into a tough team in the World Series. And there's so many different twists and turns of the series. But you know, they're going to be good for a while. And they built it well. They've got a lot of prospects still. They built it for the long haul. And you know, it's a tough loss for L.A. right now. People thought that they were going to win the World Series for the first time in 29 years. But, hey, it's tough to win. It is tough to win.
You know, we've discussed so many times, Ned, how terrific a manager Dave Roberts is. Let's talk about A.J. Hinch here for a minute. This guy had almost no bullpen to work with and somehow figures out a way to beat a team that won 104 games during a regular season and another 10 during the playoffs. I mean, this guy, A.J. Hinch, deserves a lot of respect for piecing together enough pitching to beat the Dodgers.
You know what, as I was watching this game unfold, I think it was back in 2010, and the Giants and Philadelphia were in the LCS. And the Giants were up 3-2, and it was game 6 in Philly. And if I got my facts right, Sanchez was starting for San Francisco. And he may have hit Utley and benches cleared, but maybe in the third inning. And San Fran was already up, I think, 2-0. And Bochy took him out. Took Sanchez out and cobbled it together with a really good bullpen. But still, he had 7 innings to cover. And he did. And as I watched what A.J. Hinch did tonight, I thought that he did a masterful job of covering the innings that he needed. And when you think about it, he got Keuchel up in the eighth. Keuchel never needed to get in the game. He still had Keuchel to use. He also, if you were going to use Verlander, you still had Verlander, but the longer the game went, the more that the Los Angeles offense was stymied by Morton and the other guys that he put in ahead of Morton. I thought he did a tremendous job of putting guys in a position to succeed. You know what? And they executed. I give Morton a lot of credit, too. Talking about a guy that's a back-of-the-rotation starter, whether it's the National League or whether it's the American League, and he was a little bit, a little bit uneven early and struggled early, but the last couple of innings, boy, he was tough. And the way he pitched it, and you know, he would throw soft stuff at the end of an at bat and get hitters way out in front of it. You know, your seventh game of the World Series, you're struggling to get some runs, you're struggling to get some offense, so you're going to be aggressive. And he read that, and he threw a lot of soft stuff changes, a lot of pitches in the 80-81 range, and got a lot of guys out in front. And you know, that's good thinking there. And the catcher, you know, the catcher's been winning a lot of games for a long time, and Brian McCann. So, well done. Well done by Houston. Well done by A.J. Hinch and their pitching coach and their staff. It's tough to win World Series and tough to win on the road. And the way they're bullpen and performed most of the series, most of the postseason, you knew going in that if the Dodgers could get into it, that they'd probably have a good chance of winning the World Series. But they couldn't get into it, really. And that's a tribute to the guys executing, but also the way A.J. Hinch managed it. Because had they kept going, and some miracle, if the Dodgers started a rally in the ninth inning, you had Keuchel and Verlander, both, two guys that have won the Cy Young Award, one guy won the MVP Award as a pitcher and a Cy Young Award. You got those two guys that never even got into the game.
Ned, how big was it for the Houston Astros to kind of quiet down this crowd early with the 2 runs in the first inning?
Well, it did take the life out of the place for a minute. And you know, you expect the Dodgers to come back right away. They've come back so many times this year. You know, any team that gets to this point, you know they've got a lot of comeback victories. You know that they're never going to be out of it. But it was interesting because I thought that when they scored the 3 runs in the second inning, when Springer hits the home run, then suddenly you're looking at 5 runs. And it's like, whoa, now you got an uphill battle. But they still had some opportunities. But they just couldn't string hits together. And that's a credit because, you know, there's a point in almost every game, whether it's a championship game or whether it's a regular season game, when a team is down, where they're going to have fight and they're going to continue to fight through it and get a little momentum and maybe put together 3 or 4 hits and maybe end up scoring 2 or 3 or 4 runs. That didn't happen tonight. The Dodgers were in it for probably about the 5th inning, 6th inning, and then little by little you saw Houston really kind of take control. They had a commanding lead, but again, you know, I've been in game six of the World Series with a 5-0 lead in the seventh inning and ended up getting beat. So, you know that no leads are ever set. But they, you know what, they managed it, and they had a team that was going to fight their way back or try to, and they wouldn't let them do it. And that's how, you know, this game of this series may have been the game with the least amount of activity in it of any game in the entire seven games.
Oh, no doubt about it. And then, you know, last thought here, Nolan Ryan goes over to the organization. It's good to see him, you know, he part of a winner again. And then how about Beltran and Verlander? And really, Verlander, great for him. He's been a terrific pitcher for all these years. But for Carlos Beltran, such a terrific player for such a long time, obviously at the end of his career right now, but finally getting a ring. It's a couple pretty cool players on that Astros roster that finally got the ring that they deserved.
Oh, yeah, and it shows you how hard it is because you're talking about guys that are, you know, on the verge of being, they're certainly going to get a lot of Hall of Fame votes, whether or not they make it or not, but they're, you know, to get a vote is an honor, and these guys are going to get a lot of votes, and that they get to this stage and they get that chance. You know, for many years, they carried their clubs, and now when you think about it, that they're not in the carrying mode anymore, but they're still a contributor. And you know veterans like that, you know that they do contribute a lot of verbal. They contribute a lot of expertise, a lot of calming down of young players to keep their pulse in the right beat. And you look at this Houston team, and boy, they had a lot of good young players. You're talking about a team built for the future. This team is built for today, but this team is also built for the future. They're going to be very, very good for a long time. They may be as good as any young team in the game. Look at the middle of the infield. Look at the third baseman. Look at the center fielder. These guys are kids. These guys have not even hit the prime yet.
All right, Ned. Thanks a lot for the time, buddy. Great catching up with you. Take care of yourself, all right?
All right, guys. Well, classic.
It was a pretty good one. I'll tell you that much. We had six remarkable games, and then if you're an Astros fan, the seventh game was the best of all. George Springer, the MVP, 5 homers, 4 straight games with a home run, 8 extra base hits. I mean, then the 5 home runs, by the way, tied Reggie Jackson and Chase Utley from 2009. I was covering the Phillies that year. I was with them and better with them through the playoffs. I didn't even remember Chase Utley with the 5 home runs in that World Series. He did it in a really short time, but Reggie Jackson, 1977. That's just how terrific George Springer was. And again, JP, this was an excellent series, a highly entertaining series. Tonight did not have too much tension to write home about, but it's only because the Astros were so good tonight. And when you look back at it, neither one of us had the Astros winning this thing. I think you had the Dodgers in 5. I had the Dodgers in 6. This Astros team overcame a lot of odds and on paper should not have won it because of their bullpen. They overcame that.
Yeah. And what, I mean, good, God forbid us not be wrong or us not be right. I mean, think about how many people in the media, you know, made their predictions. Did you hear of anybody that said that the Houston Astros, other than people that are Houston-based or Houston fans? I mean, it's just, I didn't even think the Houston Astros were going to get past the Cleveland Indians only because of their bullpen. They didn't even have to face the Cleveland Indians. They had to face the Yankees. So, again, it was a very, very good job by the Houston Astros, and you have to really, really tip your hat to the organization because, like Ned Colletti says, this team is going to be a very, very, very good team for some time to come with a lot of great, great young players. And this offseason, really the only thing they're having to look at is how can we fix our bullpen because everything else is pretty much set.
All right, let's get to Dave Roberts at the podium, manager for the Dodgers.
Doc, there's a strain of thought out there suggesting, second-guessing you, saying, well, maybe you shouldn't have started Darvish. Kershaw comes in, gives you 4 shutout innings. Maybe you should have started him instead. What do you say to that? How do you respond to that?
I don't have a response. Has been one of our top 3 starters all year or since we acquired him, and he had a bad one in Houston. But to think that we would start Alex on short with something he's never done. You don't know what you're going to get in either one of those two guys, and to think that they're going to start the game, I think it's unfair to you, and there's always going to be second guessing, but we felt good with you starting the game.
Take a more, Mark.
Your offense had been on a very, it performed on a high level all season, especially against right-handed pitching. What were Morton and Peacock in particular able to do to your, to all of your hitters, especially your right-handed hitter?
We had a couple chances to get through with Peacock and McCullers. Just couldn't get that big hit. And as far as Morton just really the velocity, the slider, and he was really on point tonight. And they made pitches, and we just couldn't get the hit when we needed to.
All right, so that's Dave Roberts. That's the explanation, and I think it's a valid one. And even at the beginning of the series, he said, listen, at the beginning of the playoffs, we're not throwing Kershaw on short rest. It's just not happening. Now, the plans change, but it just made too much sense to go with Darvish tonight. I'm sorry. It's great to second guess now, but nobody was saying it beforehand, and it was a very logical decision.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, and like you said, it wasn't a debate beforehand. So now, why is it a debate? You know, I know it's a question you have to ask it, but I agree with you. I think he made the right decision. You go with the plan. And, you know, unfortunately, sometimes the plan doesn't work out. And they did whatever they needed to do after Yu Darvish's start to try to make it work. They kept him at the five runs, but unfortunately, they weren't able to chip away.
All right, time now for our segment that we call Throw Like a Pro.
It's time for Throw Like a Pro, presented by National Car Rental. This is where we take a moment to spotlight individuals, key late game situations, or entire bullpens to open up for discussion. Go National, go like a pro.
Yeah, I think we just talked about Charlie Morton here. And not just Charlie Morton, because McCullers ended up getting the first seven outs of the game. Brad Peacock was terrific tonight. I think you'd agree there. Peacock coming out and had a 2.45 ERA here in the Fall Classic. So maybe we overlooked him a little bit. Liriano got another out. He got Bellinger tonight. Davinsky got an out. And then Charlie Morton with four innings. Let's start with Peacock, though. Two innings of shutout baseball, gave up a hit, a walk, and struck out two. A 2.45. Yeah, we were saying, no, there's nobody there. He came on strong at the end of the series, had some big, big outs.
Yeah, no, Peacock was great. There was some guys that were able to do some things. But when it all comes down to it, Charlie Morton, his performance tonight is really the only thing that is going to be the memory, because unfortunately Peacock did have some good innings. But you're always going to remember the last part of it. And, you know, he deserves it. He had a great game. And, I mean, they had absolutely no chance against him tonight. And so he was definitely the best pitcher and, you know, the X factor of the World Series.
Yeah, it really is, right? He went out. He went toe-to-toe with Alex Wood, who had a no-hitter, what, into the sixth inning? Was it the sixth inning earlier in the series? And I thought during that game, we had talked about Morton looked more dominant than Alex Wood. It really is a meteoric rise for this guy, Charlie Morton, too. Because even in the offseason, I remember talking with Blummer saying, you know, Blummer, Charlie, what do they do with Charlie Morton? He goes, oh, they like him because he got the spin rate, you know? We knew he had a nasty curveball. He goes, he got the spin rate. Can you explain to our listeners that don't really understand spin rate very much what is so attractive about having that spin rate and what Charlie Morton does with it to be as successful as he was again tonight?
Well, spin rate at the end of the day is the, you know, how many revolutions the baseball has to the plate. You know, fastball, it's going to have backspin and it's going to have that kind of rising action. Not really, it doesn't rise, but it doesn't fall as much. And then a breaking ball is going to have the topward spin, so it's going to go down. And so guys that can spin it better than most, that's where you have the advantage. Because if the average is, let's say, you know, for the number, let's just say 1,000 rotations on a curveball, and he's thrown it at 1,500, well, that curveball is going to move down a little bit more, so which makes it tougher on hitters. Because if you see, your eyes are going to be used to the average, and if you're above the average, you're going to get away with some things that the average doesn't. So that's why the, you know, and now I think it's, that's one of the things I do love about stats, is you can grab a guy who to some organization may not be as valuable, but to obviously the Houston Astros, they saw something, they saw that spin rate, and they said, you know what, we maybe can make some changes to him. They had him throw a four seam. His velocity went from 93 to 94 to 97, 98, and all of a sudden now his curveball becomes better. So I think you have to tip the hat to the Astros and to their the stats. Stat effects and the pitch effects and all those things that I don't really know what it's about. You have to give them the credit.
All right, and that, my friends, is Throw Like a Pro.
That was Throw Like a Pro, presented by National Car Rental. Go National, go like a pro.
And as you know, JP, big league pitchers have a lot of options when it comes to staying in control on the mound. But when it comes to you and business travel, there's only one true choice for total control. That's National Car Rental. You're always the ace when you're a member of the Emerald Club. You can skip the counter, choose any car on the aisle, and go. You can even pick up a full size or above. You'll only pay the mid-size price. So when you take the mound for your next business trip, take control. Go with National. Be guaranteed to have a little more payoff in your pitch. Take control. Go with National Car Rental. Go National. Go like a pro. All right, my friend. This was a heck of a night here for the Houston Astros. My goodness, what a terrific, terrific run that it was for the Dodgers this season. But ultimately, Houston just the better team over a seven-game span. I think if you play this World Series 20 times, maybe the Astros win at 11, but the Dodgers will win at 9. Good thing for the Stros. They play it one time, and they got it tonight. JP, great work with you, buddy. Just been absolutely remarkable.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Obviously, I think that if it was out of 20, maybe 7 goes to the Astros, but this is the one that counts.
That's it for the MLB at the Plate World Series podcast. For Ryan and Dustin in the LA studio and JP Arencibi alongside me, I'm Holden Kushner, and we'll catch you next time.
Thank you for listening to the MLB at the Plate podcast, presented by National Car Rental. Go National, go like a pro. Catch us every weeknight on TuneIn, where we take you around Major League Baseball with live listenings, analysis, player interviews, and much more. Plus, be sure to check out our other great content on TuneIn, featuring the very best in sports, music, news, and talk. On TuneIn, get caught up in the moment with more than 100,000 music stations and 5 million podcasts from around the world. Exclusive sports content, including live MLB, NFL, NBA, and NHL games, and 24/7 news coverage from CNN, MSNBC, and Fox News Radio. Tune in, your everything audio app.